is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. Robbie Stanley, our insider, in studio with us right now. Robbie, always good to see you.
Good to see you, boys.
So last night, so everybody wants to talk trades. Duchesne goes off the board. Now, we were just talking about it. I am so indifferent on the trade market about, like, it looks like the Duchesne trade was two players and two ones, which is conditional on whether or not Duchesne signs an extension. And if he doesn't, then it becomes 1-1. So the second one is conditional on that. So it looks like if you were going to trade for Mark Stone, it would probably be two ones and probably Tolvanen and then some random guy that, like, Freddie Gaudreau.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking at. I'm indifferent. They do it, great. They don't do it, great. I don't. Maybe it's because they've talked about the trade deadline for so long now that I'm just kind of over it. Maybe it's because the goalie's the most important aspect of the team, but I'm kind of over it one way or another about Stone or if they get him or don't get him. Where do you sit on all this?
Well, I'm with you. I still think if you're the Predators, you're out there looking for options, but you know, we've been hyping up this big three for 2 weeks now of Panarin and Duchesne and Stone, and turns out I think two of them are going to end up being on the same team, and that's Duchesne and Panarin. It doesn't look like Columbus is going to trade Panarin. Looks like they're just all in at this point. So basically it's Mark Stone now as the last guy that I think is like a huge difference maker on your team. So what that does for Ottawa that I think is good for Ottawa is that's going to drive up the price on him, and essentially what I think it's going to turn into is a bidding war between teams like Winnipeg and Nashville and Vegas and Calgary and Boston on the other side in the other conference, and they're going to drive the price up for Mark Stone. And as we've seen, I think even with Matt Duchesne, I'm not sure the Predators have the assets to compete with some of those other teams. So then if you're David Poile, it's like, okay, you don't get any of the big three. Well, what are you comfortable giving up for a guy that could come in? It's not really going to be that big of a difference maker. I mean, say they get – I'm just going to throw out a name here, like Gustav Nyquist from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good player. He can come in and he can help you from a depth perspective. But I don't think Gustav Nyquist is going to be the difference in you winning a Stanley Cup or not winning a Stanley Cup. So at that point, if you're David Poile, I think you have to take a long, hard look at your team and say, okay, what am I comfortable giving up for a guy who can come in and maybe he's a difference maker in a playoff series, maybe he's not. I think with Mark Stone, you know that he is, but I'm just afraid from a Predators perspective that if they get stuck in a bidding war with Vegas and Winnipeg and all these other teams, they just don't have the assets to keep up with those guys.
Is Stone, after the Duchesne deal, that kind of sets the market for Stone. Is Stone worth two firsts and two players?
Yeah, I mean, let's just go on the basis that we're treating Duchesne as a total rental player for Columbus. I think Stone's worth more than Duchesne is. So if you take a look at all the underlying stuff.
Well, but then he's only worth 1-1 and not 2-1s.
Yeah, because you're not throwing in a conditional pick in case he re-signs. So, and I don't know, I haven't really heard much chatter from Mark Stone's camp on whether or not he'd be open to signing an extension or not. So maybe he is open to that, and maybe you do throw the conditional pick in at that point. But I do think Mark Stone is a much better player than Matt Duchesne is.
I wonder, the real question I have with all this is, how good is Tolvanen? Because this time last year, they were saying, hey, he's going to sign, and he's going to come right in, and he's going to play, and he's going to be a big piece in the cup run. And then we saw him for like three games, and he was never going to play in the playoffs. And they could have had the entire team get hurt, and he was never going to play in the playoffs. And then this year, he played a little bit here, but then goes right back down, and then they let him go to the junior nationals, whatever it is. And so, obviously, you know, I'm kind of sitting here saying, what happened to the guy that was supposed to come down the stretch last year and help out? He's not even here yet. And then there's a part of me that says, like, he's 19, and you don't want to be the team that trades away Philip Forsberg and gets Martin Erat in return. So how good is this guy? Do we have any idea how good he is or what they think of him?
Well, there's no question in my mind that he's nowhere near as ready as we thought he was going to be. And I will say this. In terms of, I know he's 19 years old, and obviously there's time, and everybody develops differently. But I'll be quite honest with you. I've been pretty thoroughly unimpressed with what I've seen since he's gotten here. Not to say that he's not going to turn out to be a good player, because he's still got all the time in the world to develop, and there's no question his shot is very good. But I even went up to Milwaukee a couple weeks ago and watched him play in person. And quite frankly, there just doesn't look like there's been much growth at all. I mean, he's not creating room for himself. having an okay year in Milwaukee, but I don't think he's anywhere near what they thought he was going to be, especially when he came over last year. I mean, heck, last year at this time, David Poile was talking about, you know, we don't want to give away a top six spot because we want to save it for Elliot Tolvanen coming over. And turns out he's just nowhere near ready. So I think from that aspect, it's been very, very disappointing. Like I said, I don't want to trash on the kid because he's 19 years old. And like I said, everybody develops at a different pace. But so far, not really been overly impressed with what I've seen out of Elliot Tolvanen.
Do you see the potential there for a skill set?
I do see that. I do see that. And like I said, I don't know how long that's going to take. From a raw talent perspective, the shot's there. I mean, he's got an NHL caliber shot right now. And even in a game this year when they brought him up, he got all alone against the Blackhawks and just made a great shot on the backhand. But all these other aspects of the game, whether it's away from the puck or on defense or creating room for himself or battling along the wall, I still think he's a long way away from being NHL ready.
The one thing that's tough about that, though, Robbie Stanley's in studio with us, is he might be a long way away, but what if he eventually gets there?
Right.
You know, that's the way I look at it, is if you trade him away and he goes to somebody else's minor league system for a year and then is in the All-Star game in 2 or 3 years and goes to the Hall of Fame or something like that, then you will have said, man, he was a far ways away, but eventually he found the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's where I feel like David Poile obviously knows this way better than I do, but they've got to kind of make up their mind right now what they think he's going to be, not what he is, but what he's going to be, because if they're talking about him in a trade, they've got to be willing to watch him go to the Hall of Fame or watch him do that, or they've got to know in their back pocket, yeah, he's not really good.
And the other part of that,
he's going to be a bust. Right. We'll just wait until we get rid of him and then, you know, pony for a horse.
Right. And the other part of that is you also got to do some self-evaluation and determine how long do you think your window is, because you think your window is this year and next year, you probably don't have time to wait on Elliot Tolvanen because he's not going to be ready. At least I don't think he's going to be ready at that point. So maybe that affects your decision-making too. If you think, you know what, we think this kid's going to be really good in 3 to 4 years, but we don't know what our team's going to look like in 3 to 4 years, at that point you probably just got to say, well, I'm not sure it's worth it to sit around here and wait on him to develop. Got to get something right now and go try to win, because, I mean, look, you got Pekka this year. He signed a 2-year deal after this too, but at some point Father Time is going to catch up to Pekka. I know it doesn't look like it right now, and he's playing really well, but at some point, he's not going to be the same goalie that he is right now. We all think UC Saros is really good, myself included. I think he's very good. But there is a difference between being a backup goalie and a starting goalie full-time. It's not the same thing. You don't know for sure that he can do it. I think he can, but we don't know for sure.
So you'd be cool with putting Tolvanen out there right now?
Yes, I would.
I was going to ask you, when you send somebody to Milwaukee like him with his experiences – and we all know he's been wherever, KHL or wherever he's been. What are you waiting for him to get in Milwaukee that he wouldn't get a lot faster here?
Well, number one, it's playing time. I mean, he's going to play a lot in Milwaukee. So he's going to play, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 minutes a night. Here, he'd be playing 7 or 8. And, you know, you might use him on the power play every now and then. But just situations, you're going to have a lot more chance to develop in Milwaukee, and you know, the second part of that is I still don't know if he's fully known and developed how to play over here on this ice. I mean, you got to remember, the ice in the KHL is a lot bigger.
Right.
There's a lot more room to operate out there. The game over here is smaller. It's more condensed. It's a lot faster, and you have to make decisions very quickly over here. And you could tell when he first got over here last year that he wasn't used to that and didn't know how to adjust to it. I did think in training camp he got a little bit better at that. But like I said, I watched him play a couple weeks ago, and still, to me anyway, there hasn't been a lot of improvement in that area. So I think if you're the Predators, just taking a look at him, what do you want to see? For a guy like him, with as much hype as he has and the talent that you think he has, you eventually want to see him be totally dominant at the AHL level, and he has not been anything close to that so far.
Isn't that the most depressing part about all this? Or at least, I shouldn't say depressing, the most inauspicious aspect of this? The fact that usually with all sports, when you get a premier talent who is a legit guy, even though they don't put it all together in year one, like, you see the throws. Even take Mariota, for example.
Yeah.
You saw some throws from Mariota as a rookie where you were like, oh, my God. You know, and that's Mariota, who never, at this point, has not panned out into being the superstar quarterback but he made some of those throws. Or guys in college basketball, Zion plays one game and we're like, okay, lock it up. This guy's legit. I don't feel that way about Tolvanen. I felt that way about first time I ever watched PK Subban when I was up in Boston. I'm like, oh my God, who's this guy? And I have never felt that about Tolvanen, where even though he might be young and makes mistakes or young and out of place or maybe, but just where he makes a play where you're like, wow.
Right.
Now, I saw the highlight videos in Russia, him doing that, but I have not seen him do that over here.
And even in those plays in Russia, it wasn't like he was going through four people by himself and just, you know, deking and dangling around people. It was all, he was wide open in the slot, or he was wide open over in the corner on the power play, and he's got a great shot. And I will say that for him, if you put him on this team right now, as far as the forwards are concerned, he's got a top three, top four shot on this team right now.
Wow.
But the problem is, he can't use it enough and can't get open effectively enough. And I remember, to your point, Jared, I remember when they first got Philip Forsberg and he was raw and he was probably 20, 25 pounds lighter than he is right now. And everybody was talking about, can he skate? Is his skating good enough in the league? But you watched him play, whether it was in practice or at a game, and the hands that he has when he puts it between his legs or he goes around somebody, he's always been able to do that. And you could see it immediately. And to your point, other than the shot that he can use when he's open, haven't really noticed anything in Tolvanen's game where you're just like, oh, man, that was really, really good. He's really skilled in that area. So I agree.
Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, in studio with us. Robbie had an interesting take on Twitter about the Preds window, and I think it's a very valid one. We'll get to that coming up next as we're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Everybody knows how great ice-cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey tastes. That's right. Everybody. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. This weekend, it's supposed to be bad outside, but that doesn't mean that you can't have the Fireball inside. That's right. Fireball shots. You get the Fireball little minis you can buy. So much Fireball at your disposal. Be sure to have a blast this weekend. Ignite the night. Please be sure to ignite the night responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jared and the GM, Robbie Stanley from NHL.com, in studio with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, Predators in first place. Robbie Stanley on a Fireball Hot Take Friday is in studio with us. Robbie, how much stock do you put into first place? I actually think it kind of matters. For some reason, I don't know why. I think it kind of matters.
I would like to say I put a lot of stock into it, but I did last year and it ultimately meant nothing. So, not sure how much stock I put into it. To me, the thing I put the most stock in, how are you playing going into playoffs? Last year, it wasn't very good heading into the playoffs. This year, you're kind of, to be honest with you, and I was talking about this with Adam Vingan yesterday at The Athletic, it's almost like even given everything that's gone wrong with this team and the up-and-down nature of them so far this year, other than the start of the year, they really haven't put together a run yet, and you're almost just kind of waiting for them to put together a run. And here in about a couple weeks would be a good time to start doing that.
Well, I wonder if they're going to start it right now because they should win tomorrow. They should win Monday. Then you've got at St. Louis, at Winnipeg. If they roll through the next week and they don't win a game, like, everyone's going to be talking Stanley Cup again. And a little breaking news, I don't know what he did. He must have high-sticked somebody or something. Connor McDavid suspended 2 games and he will not play Monday night against the Predators.
Wow, they gave him 2.
So what do you do, high-stick somebody?
A legal check to the head.
That'll get you.
That'll get you.
Connor McDavid will not play Monday night, so now there's no excuse to lose Monday night.
Yeah, you can't lose to Edmonton without Connor McDavid.
And so you add that in there, I feel like that's the run that's going to come. Now, I don't know if that run would be too soon, or I'm just telling you how the fans would react if they roll through the next week of winning those games.
No, I agree. And look, like I said, you're waiting for that to happen, and no better time than now to start getting to be rolling heading into the playoffs. You're heading into March, all these different things. Your schedule, I mean, we've been talking about all year how they played more games than anybody. Well, that means on the back part of your schedule, you're going to play fewer games than anybody. So you're going to eventually catch up. So that's going to work in their favor as well. But like you said, Jared, starting next week, they've got some pretty good competition. You know, your St. Louis's, they've got Winnipeg a couple times on the road coming up. So that part of it gets hairy, but I think that's good in the long run because you got to start ramping yourself up to get ready for playoff hockey.
So we saw the deal that was made for Matt Duchene where it was 2 players and 2 ones. And everybody says, okay, You know, if you make a deal like that for a Mark Stone, you're going for it now, but what does that do to you in the future? And how long is the window? And I think everybody wants to believe the window is 5 to 6 years long. You last night on Twitter says you're not buying that.
No.
How do you view this team's cup window?
I view it as this year and then next year, and past that, I don't think there's any way to tell. I say this all the time, and I think I've heard you guys talk about it too. Your window to win never really ends up being as long as you think it's going to be.
Right.
And I think that's where this Predators team lies. I mean, you've got, you know, a couple of years from now, you don't know what Pecorine is going to look like. You don't know what the top four defense is going to look like. I mean, at some point, it seems inevitable to me, whether it's via the expansion draft or whatever it is when Seattle comes in, probably not going to have this top four together. I mean, you're going to have to pay Roman Josi. PK Subban's making $9 million a year. Matias Ekholm, when he's up, is going to be due for a big raise. Ryan Ellis's contract kicks in next year, and you still have Dante Fabbro to worry about coming into the fold as well. I think this team is going to look different in a couple years, and quite frankly, I don't know if there's a way they're going to be able to keep all four of those guys together long term. So to me, it's this year and it's next year, and past that, there's too much change that can happen. There's too much what if in this team, I think, to really know. So that's how I think the Predators and David Poile specifically should approach it. And the other thing to remember is this, and I don't know how big of a factor this is or not, but David Poile, I mean, he's 69 years old.
Oh, we think about that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be hanging around here forever. And, you know, eventually he's going to retire. And you have to wonder how long, I mean, how much he's going to be willing to go totally in, whether that's this year or next year, in order to try to win the only thing that he hasn't won yet, and that's a Stanley Cup. So I think that's going to be a factor for this group as well. I'm not saying that he's going to totally mortgage their future just to selfishly try to go win a Stanley Cup, but I do think that factors in at some point.
And I have to admit, if I was David, after all he's won,
yeah,
and it's the only thing out there, I might have to push it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, okay, you know? So then I say, put this on you. You've won... You've won two AFC championships in your career. You've won a boatload of division titles. You've been a general manager for 20 years. You've been a coach. The only thing you haven't done is win the Super Bowl, right?
All right.
So if you were in David's position.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
I feel like you've made a nice life for yourself having not won a Super Bowl, but I feel
you
want to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So you would be pushing Tolvanen and the first round picks, and you would be doing it right now if this were your chance to get your Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I thought this was my last chance, yeah. I mean, there's – and I wouldn't – I mean, hopefully I wasn't sacrificing the franchise, but, I mean, I've been – helping you for a long time. I need a little something back here.
If they do go all in, though, what? Now, I don't know how the fans would react, but if they go all in and they go get Mark Stone and they don't win the cup, people will look at that as you failed.
Yeah. Exactly right.
And I don't see. Now, I don't think that David really cares about that, because he shouldn't care about that. If you think it's the right move, that's what you should make. But I feel like that's the way the fans are going to look at it, and I'm not sure if that's totally fair.
But let's be honest here. I mean, you go to the Cup Final 2 years ago, you win the President's Trophy last year, and you insist on bringing everyone back. Your team tells you to bring everyone back. At that point, if you don't win the Stanley Cup this year, it's going to be looked at as a failure anyway. So whether or not you could choose to go all in or not, if this team doesn't win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be viewed as a failed season. And that may be fair or unfair. I personally think it's fair. But that's just the way it's going to be. So, to me, there's not much difference in that mindset in terms of whether you go all in for a trade or not. You're ultimately going to be judged by if you win the Stanley Cup this year. And to be honest with you, when you're a franchise, that's where you want to be, because that means that you've been competitive and you're a legitimate cup contender. But to me, that makes no difference to me. I think regardless of what they do at this deadline, their ultimate judge of this season is going to be whether or not they win the cup. I mean, 2 years ago, they lost in the cup final, but everybody viewed that season as a success. Last year,
You
lost in the second round, but, you know, they won the President's Trophy.
They've never
done that before. This year, there's nothing left to do but win the cup. So unless they do that, to me anyway, I think this year's a failure.
Robbie Stanley, what is the most underrated aspect, most under-talked aspect of this team that does not get discussed enough?
That's a good question. Well, it's certainly not the power play, because that's talked about every second of every day. on my Twitter feed. Huh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. What do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
PK Subban.
Oh. I don't think he's talked about enough?
So my thing is this. My thing is I have been a staunch PK defender this year because I believe PK will play hard and play – hard's not the right word. He always plays hard. He'll play focused.
Yeah.
He really loses focus at times that lead to the other team scoring a goal, which is very frustrating. But that when he's playing in the playoffs, he really dials in on his assignment and is usually one of the best forwards on the other team every night.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's going to do the same thing again. But I just watch some of these passes he makes or his attempts to clear the zone late in games that you just want to pull your hair out. And I'm like, if PK's mentality of, well, I'll get it done when it matters, if that's how he actually is, that will permeate to the rest of the team.
I agree. The other part of that for me is I still wonder how healthy he is because – to me, whatever he was dealing with where he missed 19 games, he came back and he just didn't look like the same dude for a long time. And everybody went on the All-Star break, and instead of going on vacation, he went down to South Florida and just started power skating and doing all these different things. And you could tell a difference when he came back. He looked better. But to me, he, still this year, ever since he's been hurt, he still hasn't moved the same way that I'm used to seeing him move. So I wonder, not only with the decision-making that's been questionable sometimes, I wonder how much he's still battling whatever injury he was going through.
Is that, you think, a pain thing or a conditioning thing?
Could
or?
Be a little bit of both. To me, it kind of looks like a pain thing when he's out there, just a discomfort. I mean, and I have nothing to back that up with, just my eye test. Sometimes based on the way he's moving, I'll sit there and think to myself, man, he just doesn't look right. And it's been less and less obvious to me since the All-Star break. But there were times before the All-Star break where I was like, man, it looks like he's going half speed out there. And it wasn't an effort thing. It just looked like that's all he could do.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people call and talk about, you know, geez, he's slow. It's really, what's the deal, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that he's still dealing with.
What does your gut tell you, Robbie Stanley, happens on Monday? Well, this is our last chance to talk about trade deadline, just Floyd and I, because we're on the air at 2 o'clock Monday.
Yeah.
And the deadline is 2 o'clock Monday. So either they make a deal or they won't make a deal. So this is kind of our last chance. What does your gut tell you they do?
My gut tells me they're going to make a deal. I don't think it's going to be Mark Stone. I just don't think they have the assets to keep up with Mark Stone. So whether it's, you know, Zuccarello, New York, or Kreider, or Hayes, or, you know, Gustav Nyquist, I do think they're going to make another deal for somebody who can play on your second or third line and maybe play on the power play. But I don't think they're going to end up making a big, huge splash like a Mark Stone, just because I don't think they're going to have the assets in order to do that.
Any of those guys make a difference or have a chance to make a difference?
Got a chance.
I like Kreider.
Yeah, I mean, all of them are good players. None of them are great players, and that's the difference to me. Mark Stone is a great player. You know, these other guys are good, but they're not pushing you over the top, I don't think.
What happens to Mark Stone?
This is going to make people mad. I think he's going to end up in Winnipeg.
Yes! See, because when Duchesne went to Columbus, I said they're gonna leverage Nashville and Winnipeg against each other for Stone. That's exactly what's happening right now. Is I am telling you, they're on the phone, and I'm sure you've done this before, of, hey, Nashville's offering me 3-1s right now for Stone. So, you know, if you don't give me XYZ, then he's probably going to Nashville.
Sounds like that might be a little dishonest. I don't do dishonest things.
You've never done that.
Floyd, never.
Floyd and his pig farms. 615-737-1025. The secret ones that we don't know about that he and Bill Belichick are invested in, I'm sure. 615-737-1025. Robbie, good to see you as always.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
we
Robbie.
We will see you, of course, big homestand and Tuesday or Monday. They play Edmonton deadline. And again, Connor McDavid will be out Monday. They have got to find a way to beat Punch and Judy Colorado tomorrow. 615-737-1025. You heard what Robbie said right there. You heard Robbie say he thinks Mark Stone goes to Winnipeg and that you get a secondary guy who's not one of the big fish that all of you wanted. Are you okay with that? If that happens, are you okay with it? 615-737-1025 is the number. We will discuss that coming up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know what I'm okay with? I'm okay with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical in my house. That's why I'm so glad that that's who I use. Why? Because every little issue that comes up, they can come over and they can get it fixed, and they do it fairly thanks to true transparency pricing. There is none of this, that'll be $20,000, not with them. With true transparency pricing, they lay it all out for you right there. They explain what they're doing it, why it needs to be done, and you can decide either on the spot or take your time, and you can decide, hey, this is what I want for my home. I know how frustrating some of these issues can be for your home, and that's why I'm telling you about how great Hiller is. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They feature true transparency pricing. And if you're replacing your HVAC unit or you've got major plumbing work, they offer a free second opinion. So if the other guys come out and give you a quote, bring Hiller out there. They give you a second opinion for free. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
When you listen to Pekka, though, it's so interesting because we are watching the standings every single day and watching it closely, but so too are the players, and they know just as well how close things are out west. So these were big 2 points, and Pekka Rinne's been a big reason why.
He has, and those points are critical. You want to finish ahead of Winnipeg, no question about that, because home ice can be so important in two rinks that there really is a home ice advantage. Nashville, a great place to play in front of the home fans, and the Predators have a tendency to feed off of their crowd. Winnipeg, very similar in that regard.
So Keith Jones last night on the broadcast, he says, hey, Preds are in first place, and it matters with home ice with Winnipeg. Now, I know everybody is kind of down on home ice after last year, but I'm just throwing that out there. So Robbie Stanley just came in studio and said he believes at the deadline Mark Stone goes to Winnipeg. And the Predators get some secondary guy who's just a guy. Chris Kreider, for example, from New York. Although I like Chris Kreider. How would you feel if that's what happens Monday?
I mean, I don't know. That's kind of what we've done the last couple of years.
Well, last year they traded a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman.
Right. Well, no, I'm talking about I think the guys that we've gotten have kind of fit those roles. And I think that, to bring another one, I mean, if he can help, fine.
But with Winnipeg getting
I don't see anybody, that we can afford or that we're willing to, that will make a difference. And if it can't make a difference or won't make a difference, then, I'm all for going as is.
So if the option was a first-round pick, two first-round picks, two prospects, whatever, but you get Evgeny Malkin in return, you're all for that. Now, obviously, they're not going to trade Malkin, but I'm just saying, that's the kind of guy that you want in return.
Somebody's going to make a difference. And if he's not there, then, I'm fine with where we are.
Even if Winnipeg gets Stone.
Well, there's nothing you can do about that.
Well, you can overpay Winnipeg, and then you can get Stone.
Well, yeah.
Because you know that that's exactly what Ottawa's doing, is they're going to leverage the two teams against each other.
Yeah, I think I'd be shocked if either one of these, and I don't know them, but I'd be shocked if David allows another team to leverage him a great deal.
Do we know where Winnipeg is? Let's go to your phones, as promised. 615-737-1025. Adam is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Adam?
I think you got to get leveraged a little bit here, man. I don't see you making it through the Winnipeg series. You didn't make it last year. And your offense has gotten worse, I think. And I guess if Forsberg or somebody on that front line just really steps up in the playoffs, you're fine. But I don't see how you could possibly think you're in better shape than you were last year. And they're not the only team that can beat you this year. I think St. Louis beats them the way they are right now. So I think you got to get more firepower than that, man. You can't just sit back.
So this is the thing I have a hard time. Thank you for your call, Adam. This is the thing I have a hard time kind of judging as far as the Preds are concerned. Yes, I would say compared to the firepower they have right now, you need to go get more firepower. But take some of these guys that aren't playing particularly well, like Sissons. I can't remember the last time Sissons scored. What if Sissons goes on a tear in the playoffs? And there's nothing to say that he can't.
Right.
Or that Johansson can't go on a tear, or that Arvidsson can't go on a tear, or that the defensemen can't start scoring at a higher clip than they've been scoring. It's weird from the standpoint of, it feels like today you need more firepower, but it might not in a month and a half, because the guys you might have on your team right now might all of a sudden be playing better. So it's like a moving target. It's like the stock market. It's, you know, I'll buy today, but I'll sell tomorrow, or I'll sell today, but I'll buy. That's the tough part in all of this is, and if you were to go get the firepower, there's no guarantee that Stone's going to score a bunch of goals in the playoffs if you were to get in there. And that's the tough part in trying to decide something like this. If it were like a running back in the NFL, that's really easy, right? Like, hey, I know Ezekiel Elliott averages 5 yards a carry. So if I go get Ezekiel Elliott, he'll be able to run the ball and he'll be a good running back in every game. That's not the way that the Predators have played over the last 2 years in the playoffs, and that's what makes it hard to judge this roster right now. Last year, they gave up a first-round pick for Hartman. Now, I think Hartman's played well the last two nights. I don't think Hartman's a very good player, but Hartman could have 3 or 4 goals over the course of a cup run that could be a very big 3 or 4 goals. This is a team that went to the Stanley Cup final because of game-winning goals from Pontus Aberg and Colton Sissons and Freddie Gaudreau.
Well, I think the hard – I mean, I liken this more to Derrick Henry, you know. What would you trade for Derrick Henry right now? Well, there will be those that saw the last 4 games of last year and go, hey, he may be the best running back in the league. And then there are going to be those that saw the first, 5 or 6 games or 7 and say, yeah, he's a good running back. He's okay, and he could help us. I mean, he's, not going to win us the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the way you see it. And if you're a GM someplace, I mean, that's your decision. Which way, what do you believe? What do you see? And I think that's true with all these guys you're talking about. You know, all the guys that haven't performed up to exactly where you want to perform. Is that the way it's going to finish the year out? I don't know. But, I mean, if it is, if you've got somebody that's a good player that's performing at a, C or D level, and that continues through the year, then, you've got a problem.
Mike Turris?
I'm not mentioning any names.
Hey, Turris played well last night. Now, I'm not too pony up on his performance against Dallas like everybody else is, but I thought he played really well last night. And I said I wasn't going to get on him until after the Vegas game. So after the Vegas game, he has the game-winning assist against Dallas, and he has the game-winning goal last night against L.A. So I can't be too upset. 16 games, by the way, since Colton Sissons has scored a goal. Time for Colton Sissons to get back into the scoring column.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to the phones. Bob is up next. What's up, Bob?
I'm glad that they didn't get Duchesne. This is nothing against Duchesne, but I think the price was too high for him. If they get any, I'd be okay if they didn't do anything, just because they would have had to pay through the nose for it. But if there's anybody that they do get, I hope that it's Zuccarello, because from all I've heard, he fits more into the Predator style and is playoff tested, and I think would be a good fit, sort of similar to Mike Fisher with maybe a little bit more scoring.
Yeah, I mean, you can have – you can have Zuccarello. He doesn't do it for me now. I mean, if you're giving up anything that matters, Zuccarello don't really.
That's going to be the question on all these. Are we talking about trading another first round for somebody that's out there? Or are we talking about a player that to be named later, or? Or a third round, I mean, that's the part that you always wonder. And then what, when they come here, what kind of an effect do they have?
Let's go to Vinny, who's up next. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. Listen, I have a different take. I really don't think that we need a trade. And here's my thought. Look at the Blackhawks and look at the Blues. They were both down in the dumps. They didn't go out and get Stone. They didn't go out and get Duchesne. They got together. They gelled together, and they played hard. And you know what? Any team in the NHL is capable of going on a run. The Preds have shown it last year with the President's Trophy. They are more than capable of getting the Cup this year. That's my thought.
I think that's how most of us feel. Thank you, Vinny. I mean, some of us feel like, they got to make a trade, Jared. But I think most of us are like, You know, they lost to Winnipeg last year, quite frankly, because either they weren't as good or they just really didn't play well and they peaked at the wrong time. And both of those might be true. And that's kind of how I think that guy feels and how I feel right now. I mean, we've complained about this team all year. They're in first place right now. There's got to be something to be said about that. The amount of complaining that we have done for this hockey club that is in first place.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree 1,000%, and that's one of those things we need to keep in mind all the time.
It's like being a Steelers fan. JT on Twitter says, I will be perfectly okay if the Preds do not acquire Stone. His star power is what the franchise has lacked for years and longer. He can put you over that edge. Bottom line is, if he goes to the Jets, it's pretty much game over for Poyle and the Preds. Oh, he said, I'll be perfectly not okay. So this guy will lose his mind if they get Stone. Get ready for it. I agree with Robbie. I think Winnipeg's going to get Mark Stone. So
Winnipeg's got to be not the happiest team in the country either.
Well, they're not winning a lot of games right now.
I know.
And everybody's contract's about to kick in, and their window is not what you're – what you think your window is, they know their window isn't.
I think they've got to be looking around saying, wait a minute now. You know, we were number one. We were in first place there for a long, long time. And now, you know, we're not only are we in second place, but we're headed in that direction.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Robert Kraft, involved in a prostitution scandal. That's right. You probably have already heard that today, but if you didn't, you just heard it right here. Robert Kraft facing charges. Now, Kraft spokespeople categorically deny the allegations against Kraft, but apparently there's videotape, so it's kind of hard to, you know, kind of hard when there's videotape. But apparently that's the case. What will the NFL do to the Patriots? Will it be harder than normal because of the Patriots' history? We'll get to that. Coming up next, it's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And there is a hot take out about Kraft. We'll get to that, too. ESPN 102.5 The Game is streaming on the Game National app.
Adam, help me out. What how can you add to this story that is just now breaking?
Well, Carrie, at this point in time, Robert Kraft has been charged with this offense. Now, he's not been convicted at this time, but he has been charged. And keep in mind that owners, NFL owners, are subject to standards than any NFL employee. And they are subject to the NFL's personal conduct policy. If you go back to 2014, Jim Irsay was suspended 6 games and fined $500,000 after being arrested on drug charges. So now, not only is there an investigation into South Florida, not only do we have an issue that involves women who have been trapped in human trafficking, which is an important distinction to make here, but now the NFL has another situation, another investigation to launch, and it involves obviously one of the most powerful people in all of sports.
That was Adam Schefter today. The NFL is going to have to discipline the Patriots again, apparently, for the two misdemeanor counts of solicitation of prostitution for Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, involved in a huge sex trafficking ring in Florida. Now, do you think the NFL is $500,000 for Irsay in 6 games? Do you think they have to come down harder on Kraft because of the Patriots' baggage in the past? Deflategate and Spygate. It's like every 5 years they got to punish the Patriots. So.
Yeah, but those are football issues. This is a personal issue.
This is a prostitute issue.
This is whatever you want to call it.
So Bart Scott, the former Jets and Ravens linebacker, is on WFAN in New York. Bart thinks the NFL should come down hard on the Patriots.
I don't know what the league does here. I mean, we know that they're going to have to do some sort of
draft picks,
get all the investigation. I
might take the entire draft from them. It has to be something that cripples the organization, because this is a black eye. You talk about conduct detrimental. I mean, what can be more detrimental than the owner to face? You can't listen. Money can't hurt him.
I'm just kind of in trouble trying to figure out.
Take their entire draft.
What they could do to him.
Take their entire draft. He has to be suspended for at least a year. You start at a year. I take the entire draft. I cripple the organization, and I put him on sabbatical.
That's Bart Scott's take. What do you think of that?
Well, what do you think Bart's going to say?
I think that's the dumbest thing maybe I've ever heard, honestly. Like, this is terrible for the league, so let's take their entire draft? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
How do you take somebody's entire draft from them because the owner went to a little, what's it called again? Orchids of Asia in Jupiter, Florida.
Asian orchids? I don't know what it was.
Something like that. Because he went there a couple times, and who knows what happened at the spa. Now, apparently they have videotape of it. So Kraft's team that has categorically denied that anything illegal occurred, if they got it on videotape, then they got it on videotape. So I don't know what you do about that. But take their entire draft? No. Now, if they took a first-round pick, I wouldn't be shocked by that. They love to take first-rounders from the Patriots.
Yeah, but I mean, what you can't – this is a personal issue. This is not a team issue. I mean, if a player gets picked up on a DUI, they don't take a draft pick.
Agreed. But this guy owns that team.
Or if a coach gets picked up on a DUI, they don't take a draft pick.
But the coach doesn't own the team.
They will suspend you and they will fine you. And I think there's precedent set for that with the Colts. So I would say it would be along those lines. Which is worse? What he supposedly did or getting caught with, you know, a pocket full of drugs? I don't know. Neither one's very good. So if one got, you know, what was it, $500,000 in six games? I don't know. I guess that's, you know, something along those lines.
That'll probably give him a whole year. Which, like, how do you give a 77-year-old a whole year?
Yeah, you can't give him a whole year. I wouldn't think. I mean, I don't know why. Why?
I mean, I don't even think they should punish Kraft anyways. Like, I mean, who cares? You think Goodell cares? If Goodell and I were out to lunch, and, you know, I've never been out to lunch with Goodell. Have you been out to lunch with Goodell before?
No.
Have you been to a lunch-in with Goodell before?
Yeah.
Well, that counts as out to lunch. If you and Goodell are out to lunch, and just the question arose out of thin air, and you said, "Roger, do you care if Robert Kraft ever, you know, pays for sex?" And not that it would become public or anything like that. You think Roger would say yes? You think he cares about Robert Kraft doing that? No, he doesn't care. But because of it's the personal conduct policy and we suspend the players and all the, you know, we got to come down and do it on this and I just want what's fair. I think $300,000 and no suspension is good for Kraft.
Oh, I would guess. I mean,
no, they're going to levy him way more than that.
Yeah, it'll be along the, you know, what the Colts got somewhere in that vicinity.
Jupiter police told reporters that the 77-year-old Kraft has not been arrested. A warrant will be issued and his attorneys will be notified. Kraft has denied wrongdoing. The charge comes... Police said details about the charges against Kraft will not be released until next week. So get your popcorn ready for that. What do you think the charges will be?
I have no idea. I mean, it's... You know, after what went on with that Smollett... Is that the actor?
I still have no idea what that really is all about. But everybody's up in arms.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, this is the
same
thing.
I've just
kind
of ignored that story.
You know, I mean, it's a hate crime. And, you know, we've got to punish and we've got to do this and that and the other. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, not so fast. So, I mean, I've gotten to the point, I'll just wait. As soon as somebody tells me for sure, I see a judge or a cop say, yep, here it is. This is what he did. Then I'll worry about it.
I just find it hard to believe that a guy that's got $6 billion isn't going to be more discreet than to roll into the orchids of Asia in a strip mall next to an Outback Steakhouse.
I mean, I'm shocked. No doubt about that.
I mean, you can, like, buy a hotel and have, you know, that happened at a hotel that you own that nobody, you know, that, I mean, that's just me, like, but I guess Kraft, you know, I guess he's like a lot of people that are charged in this. Apparently, the charges come amid a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in Florida from Palm Beach to Orlando. Hundreds of arrest warrants have been issued in recent days as a result of a six-month investigation, and more are expected. 10 spas have been closed, and several people charged with sex trafficking have been taken into custody. See, that's the thing people care about.
Well, is he involved? Is he being charged with something to do with the sex trafficking?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like that. We said earlier in the show, we are totally against that. You know, totally, and that's got to end. And I look at it as two separate causes. It's like, you know, the consumer is one thing, and then the actual, you know, when you hear 10 spas all throughout Florida and people that are trafficked into the United States and essentially, you know, treated as slaves, that is such a serious issue. And you have that on one hand, that's serious and that matters. And then you got the 77-year-old guy that just goes to the spa by the Outback Steakhouse. And, you know, you're kind of like, come on, Robert. Like, do better. Let's go to Will. Will's up next. Thank you for calling the show. What you got, Will?
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and just say how dumb you sound right now, saying that a 77-year-old man just going into a place to get deeds like that doesn't have anything to do with the issue of sex trafficking. It's all tied together, and you have no proof that anybody there wasn't, you know, deeply affected by sex trafficking in the first place. So I think just laughing about it.
I have no proof that anything happened about anything. I'm just reading off of what they say.
Yeah, but you just said that, do you think Goodell really cares that this is happening? Well, obviously he cares if, other than Jerry Jones, the most famous owner in the league is involved with an extension of sex trafficking. Totally naive to think that this isn't a big deal.
I mean, that's almost like, so, Will, I understand what you say. And I'm totally against sex trafficking. No, 100%. 100% against it. But this is almost like saying, you know, hey, so-and-so smoked some pot, and then saying, well, you know, the pot where that came from this drug cartel that smuggled in all this pot. So now you who smoked the pot are as bad as the guys that are the cartel. Yeah, I mean, there's two totally different things there, in my opinion. And I should say in my opinion with that. And I think that's probably... Yeah, again, we are. I mean, I think you read the statistics on sex trafficking, and it is just horrific. And especially people that come to this country or people that are brought into this country.
Oh, scary.
It is, everything about it is awful. Everything involved with anything with human trafficking is terrible. And we are not shedding light or laughing about that. You know, we're not laughing or anything about that. It's just the Robert Kraft angle of it is much different than the big picture of the entire issue. Floyd's film study. Floyd has broken it down. Floyd takes a look at Derrick Henry. He takes one really good game from Derrick Henry against Jacksonville and one really bad game from Derrick Henry against Jacksonville. What he saw, what was the difference between a 50-yard rushing Derrick Henry and a 300-yard rushing Derrick Henry? We get to that coming up next. Floyd's film study on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.